Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffan.net.
Hello, I'm Steve Lamack. Lee and Herring have been judged too rubbish to carry on broadcasting, and so tonight you're listening to a specially extended evening session. We'll be playing tracks from Oasis, Blur, Echo Belly, Pulp and Sleeper. We've got sessions from Blur, Sleeper and Pulp, along with exclusive live tracks from Echo Belly and Oasis, and debut plays for new releases from Oasis, Blur, Echo Belly, Pulp and Sleeper. Alex from Blur will be in the studio, along with Louise from Sleeper and Ian from Oasis, and they'll be playing some of their favourite new releases by Blur, Oasis, Echo Belly, Pulp, Sleeper, Blur, Pulp, Sleeper, Blur, Oasis and Sleeper. The collapse of the 9 to 10 slot is just the first stage in my Blur, Echo Belly, Sleeper, Pulp, Oasis world takeover. Then I, Steve Lamack, will take over all Radio 1. Ha ha ha, do you see? Simon and Alan from Blur will be on the phone later talking about Blur.
It's Oasis, Steve Lamack, not functioning. His Britpop Cyborg Secretary has been overloaded with jangly semi-ironic British guitar music. He's got haywire!
Keep going, you Don Martin's joke! Steve Lamack is dead, Stu.
Yes, Rich, killed by the one thing that he could never understand, the human emotion of love.
In what sense?
Oh, shut up, Rich.
What was the point of all that?
Nothing. It got the show off an exciting start, though, didn't it?
No, it gave you the chance to show off your Steve Lamack impression.
Well, you had to go. Shut up. This is Gutter Ball from the last album. It's called Sugar Fix.
They faintly resemble Tucker Jenkins and Michael J. Fox, respectively.
Yeah, hello, I'm Stuart Lee.
And ich bin ein Richard Herringer. It's a bit tight on Steve Lamack, he's good.
Yeah, sorry, I've got like him as well.
Yeah, why are you having a go in?
I don't know.
Tony, trying that stuff.
Sorry.
Come on, honey, we can walk into the sunset.
Well, the usual gang are in, aren't they? Looking through, Steve Mack wasn't listening to that, so never mind. But we've got Ronnie Ancona here. You were at the Christmas party, BBC TV Lions Home Party 1. Who was the most famous person you saw there?
Richard Wilson.
Oh, I don't believe it. Peter, you were there. You got invited somehow.
Yeah, I saw the man from the Thin Blue Line, the one speaks like a lady.
It's a very excellent show. It's most excellent, that show, Thin Blue Line. Well done, Ben Elton. And Kev, you were there,
yeah.
I noticed.
Yeah.
I noticed the rebel, Eldon. You were wearing a black tie dinner jacket, weren't you?
Right, yeah. Well, I was there, Sean. I was slap bang in the middle of the BBC establishment. Did you notice something about me all night?
No.
I was sneering, though.
Well, you know, you're still wearing a black tie, weren't you?
Yeah.
You weren't there, Stu, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was just drunk in Greenwich somewhere.
He wasn't in
that. That's not as good. I saw Steve Steen. From Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Well done.
Thanks. Showing off about our parties there. You didn't go, did you, listener? No, it was rubbish, I tell you.
Good record, isn't it?
It's a lovely record. Yeah. So charming. Thanks for putting it on, Stu. Of course, the main piece of news has got to be that the old Tory government has raised the drink limit to 28 units a week. Yay! Yeah. Well, it might be a cynical attempt to win votes, but it's worked for me.
Worked for you.
That's it. 14 pints, that is, and that is, apparently that's compulsory for you have to drink.
What's John Major got to say
John
about
John Major is on record. I'll do my impression. He said,
go on.
Hello, I'm John Majors, and anyone who can't drink 28 units a week is a sissy and should be out picking flowers.
Is that what he said?
He did. He said that. Controversial stuff there from the Tories.
He's made us the laughing stock of Europe.
It's terrible. One whole unit, that's a half a pint a day you're allowed more. That's good news for the man who drinks medicine, isn't it, Pete?
Yes.
Are you happy about that?
I'm being haunted by the ghost of a hedge.
Possibly that extra half pint won't make too much difference there.
Be careful on that, listeners, with those units there.
Yeah, do be careful.
And remember, if you get used to sort of 28 units being the British standard, and you go abroad, say, to a country where everyone drinks all the time, like, for example, France, be careful to moderate, you know, can translate between the two unit amounts there.
That's very useful advice, thanks.
Bit of advice there.
And, of course, the other thing is, the surprise news, Princess Di has some breasts.
Yeah.
She has two breasts. Any ideas?
Well, they were described in the Star today as Britain's greatest assets. But, I mean, what about North Sea oil? I would think that must be...
Well, you know, weigh the two things up and...
Breasts.
They're very what?
Humane.
They
breasts.
Are. They're the most humane breasts.
They're very caring.
Did you see the breasts, Pete?
No, it didn't.
They're a bit scary, aren't they?
Yes.
They're like eyes.
No, it was a scary situation, though, because she was going up there trying to do a Queen of Hearts bit. And it's quite frightening, I don't know if you noticed, because Princess Di was actually heckled there.
There.
As she received her humanitarian award in New York. And guess what? We've got it on tape.
Cool.
I just want to say a sincere and heartfelt thank you for this award. So humbling to receive it and realise that you feel I should be honoured in this.
Tell us a joke!
All the homeless people...
You're not funny!
All the homeless people...
Boring! Boring!
Be quiet! Be quiet! God, I need a good heckle put down, don't I? Oh, God. Oh, I know, yeah. This is what happens when cousins marry, okay?
Well, you're in the royal family, you'd know all about that, haven't you?
could you just be quiet? Because it isn't easy being up here, you know. It's not easy.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, we are the new weekending, the Radio 1 of weekending there. Thanks, everyone. Cheers. That's satire. Good night. We've still got to carry on. This week's phone in, dial in on 0500 110 100. We've got the news that old people, well, the change is going to change. We're going to get a new £2 coin that looks like a foreign coin and smaller 50p. And of course, old people are complaining. They're saying, why can't things just stay as they
why
are?
Why do things have to change?
Why do they have to change? Well, they do have to change. I think the new £2 looks really good. I love those two coloured coins. But what this week's phone is we want you to ring in with a thing that you think would most annoy or upset old people, if coins were replaced with it, or, you know, or different coins that would upset old people. Right. So what would upset old people the most? Got any ideas?
Well, I think a coin with the head of Hitler on it.
Yeah.
Saying Britain cheated in the war would annoy old
people. If all British currency had that, that would be annoying.
Remember, it doesn't have to be a picture of Hitler. It could be anything.
Old people hate tiny things. Yeah. I think they should have subatomic particles of sort of different financial values.
We'll do phone in if you've got any ideas.
0500 110 100.
For
anything.
Replacements for coins.
What would annoy old people?
In the news this week, Morrissey, Michael Jackson, Black Grape, and PJ Harvey are amongst the top celebrities who've had to cancel live gigs due to illness this month. We're going to spend this show finding out why.
Dr. Runny's Celebrity Illness Roundup.
Stephen Patrick Morrissey from Morrissey is suffering from the rare condition of missing bones. The grumpy Manchurian awoke last week, halfway through his David Bowie support act, to find three of his bones were missing. The bones, which were his hand, inner ear, and skull, had vanished due to the illness. The illness is treatable with 3 aspirins, a night in bed, and a hot water bottle.
This is the new single from TV's Michael Barrymore. It's dedicated to his wife, and it's called Thank You for Loving Me and Supporting Me Over the Last 20 Years of Our Sham Marriage. Although I'm sure that you profited from it yourself.
It's not. It's called Too Much for One Heart, says it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misread it.
How could you misread that? It's completely different.
To make,
to find words to say, don't know where to start. Too much for one heart, too much for one heart. What star did you come from? Hearing you say to me, we will never part. Too much for one heart, too much for one heart. How did
He's a nice bloke, Michael Barrymore.
Yeah, he is.
We wanted to let all this run, but our producer was scared the music industry friends would hear her playing this in her show and be embarrassed.
Well, and
she's laughing now.
And it's rubbish.
And
as well.
There is that as well.
So
it's good, though, because he came out of the show, and it's nice because he's like a mainstream entertainment celebrity, and my grand still likes him.
That's true. I was worried. It was an open
more
show.
To his elbow.
It was an open show with sort of knowledge that he was gay, but I was worried when it came out. Remember, he did that chocolate finger advert for Cadbury's. Mm. I thought it was going to be like, with that giant chocolate finger, I thought the front page of the Sun would be him holding that with some kind of pun. I don't know what they'd come up with.
You're the only person to have made that crash.
No, but, you know, I was worried about it. I'm glad it never happened, because that would have been an awful thing. But he is a nice bloke. We wrote for the pilot, me and Stu, one of the first paid jobs we ever had, of Michael Barrymore's pilot show, of his successful show, Barrymore, that we weren't asked to write for the series for.
No, we were dropped from the series.
But he was very nice, and he actually, at the party afterwards, he made a point in coming up to us and with the two girls we were with at the time, and said, stick with these guys, girls, they're going to be big. Didn't work. They didn't stick with us.
And we weren't big.
It wasn't very nice, but
he was wrong.
He was a very nice man, and I'm very glad about it. But you know, Stu, Michael Barrymore isn't the only celebrity to have an unconventional relationship with a woman.
Dear Anthony, thank you for your letter about Pliny's History of the Spartans. It was quite good. I enjoyed reading it.
Dear Anne, yes, you're right. Pliny is good. Another good old book is The Canterbury Tales.
For 30 years, Anthony Hopkins corresponded with Anne Bancroft from his bookshop at 84 Charing Cross Road, and the two bookworms maintained a deep transatlantic friendship, writing to each other of their love for old books. Until one day, Anthony decided to chance his arm.
Dear Anne, thanks for your letter about that old book. I like old books too, as you know by now, after 30 years. Anne, I was wondering if perhaps next time, as well as sending me an old book again, you might also enclose a photograph of yourself, perhaps bare or in suspenders, but no bra. Oh, come on, Anne. We know that this stupid writing about books is all about. I'd like to put you across my knee and spank you until your little arse was pink. I hate books. You do as well. You know you want it. 30 years I've waited for you, you whore. Yours sincerely, Anthony Hopkins. P.S. I am wanking as I write this.
Oh, dear.
Oh, our producer wimped out there, and we didn't think she was going to. Never mind, it was funnier when he said wanking. Right, we've got the phone call, remember, 0500 110 100. If you've got an idea of what coinage, I told her I'd do it. The coinage should be replaced, if just to annoy old people, not too much. Because
it doesn't have to
love.
Be a coin, could be replaced by anything.
What, have you got any ideas, Kev?
I would replace the entire coinage method, right, with a complex interactive computer system which the old folk had to program themselves to get online.
That's a very good idea. We'll keep those coming in. But now it's time for our Heart of Paper Award for this week. We've had lots of nominations in. One of the losing ones.
A mediocre achievement that you have done.
Not as good as Heart of Gold, not as bad as being in prison. Kate Anderson nominates Elaine McLaren from Glasgow, I assume, because she came round to her house one time and wiped her mouth on one of our dishcloths after drinking some juice and provided my mother with an amusing party anecdote. Very good, but not quite good enough.
Paul Juice of Southampton he wrote in to nominate his friend Phil. Because once, Paul and Phil were playing football, and Paul had a shot, and then he pulled off a great save, but Phil pulled off a save, but it went straight back to Paul, because he failed to hold the ball for long enough, and he scored.
Remember, that was not quite good enough to win a Heart of Paper. We have the winner of the Heart, this week's Heart of Paper on the line, is Joanne Clark. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Right, Natasha Sims has nominated you. Do you remember what you did on the 5th of December this year?
No, I can't.
You can't? It's amazing. You can't remember. You were in the College Refractory.
Refectory.
Or Refractory, it says here.
Refractory.
Right? And it involved a cheese roll. Do you remember?
No.
Oh, you're so modest. You held her cheese roll, Natasha Sims's cheese roll, as she struggled to get some cash out of her purse standing at the front of an extremely long queue. You have won, for that, a Heart of Paper.
Oh,
hooray! Well done. How'd you feel?
Thank you.
Good. Thanks a lot. Well, do keep those coming in. Remember, you can't nominate yourself. Keep it to our new address, which is Lee and Herring, P.O. Box 168, London, WC2 9NX. That's good. Every day of the year, that one.
Hey, can I ask a question at this point?
Yeah.
Did someone just say wind up in my ear?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Let's get on with it.
It's time to go for another one of our celebrity illness speeches.
Dr. Ronnie's Celebrity Illness Roundup.
The singer Michael Jackson last week became too ill to perform. He was found to be suffering an attack of the rare skin condition cakezema. Cakezema sufferers wake up to find that the entire surface areas of their bodies have turned into cake. Generally, it is a type of Victorian sponge, and their wastes turn into a jammy, creamy filling. This condition can be cured by being devoured by a medium-sized dog or small wolf, or a tiny dwarf.
This is Babes in Toyland from Minneapolis with a version of the old Pointer Sisters hit, We Are Family. Trivia fans might like to know that the brother of Babes in Toyland founder member Michelle Leon, who doesn't actually appear on this record, was in the title sequence of our TV series saying the phrase, it makes me mad with power, over and over again.
Or they might not like to know that, and they might find it dull and uninteresting as it really is, and they might like to try and forget that
fact. It'll be hard to forget it now, though.
Now it's there, but if you try really well, in fact, if you try really hard, you'll be always thinking, I've been trying to forget that. It's trouble.
Bedford rang in to say that the coinage to confuse old people should be replaced by old people.
That's good. Dave Clayton, made out of jam jar lids, done up really tight so they can't open them to buy food and they die.
Glenn Yard of Bournemouth said coinage should be replaced by huge rancid shrimps.
Time for Simon Quinlack, I'd guess, isn't it?
Hello, listening people of Britain. It is I, Simon Quinlack, the chief conductor of the bus that is called Hobby. As you may know, if you have heard or seen me before, I am the best at doing hobbies in the world. If you didn't know that, as you have not heard or seen me before, then you do know it now, as I have just told you that I am the best at doing hobbies in the world with my mouth. Today's hobby is a good hobby, providing excitement and a valuable service to agriculture. What you will need for this hobby: a gun, preferably a rifle or shotgun, a belt containing ammunition, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a hand with at least one finger. This hobby is a good hobby if you like stalking things in the countryside at night, shooting a gun and killing living creatures, but have strong moral objections about murdering defenseless wild animals and endangered species. Or if you simply enjoy the thrill of administering death but aren't very good at shooting. The hobby is called the cow hunting hobby. How to do this hobby: go to a farm in the country under the cloak of night and make for the field in which the cows are sleeping, unaware of the justice that is about to be dealt out to them. Load your gun or rifle with bullets. It is time to stalk your prey. Now, get as near to the cows as possible. And this is very near, as cows are docile, trusting creatures who wrongly view mankind as their friends. Hello, cow. Answer me! Ah, boo. I am your friend. You have now hunted your quarry. It is time to shoot them. Shoot them all! Die, you whorish cows! That will teach you! The cows are so trusting that it will not even attempt to run away, meaning that even the most inefficient marksman can hope to pick off at least 10 or 15 cows before the authorities are alerted. Plus, they are large, slow creatures, making them easier to hit than the small, swift jackrabbit or vole, or any fly creature, e.g. a bird. When you have run out of bullets, or cows, count how many cows are dead and record it in your cow-hunting hobby book. Today, my hand has slewed 18 cows and 3 calves. This is my best hunt of the 1995 season. Then, as a mark of respect to the slain beasts, smear your excited face in their warm blood and drink your weak lemon drink. Drink it, and some of the blood if you wish. The killing of cows is morally acceptable, as they are going to be killed anyway, and unlike squirrels or foxes, the slain carcasses can be consumed and are delicious. And you are doing the farmer a favour and saving him the trouble of shooting a steel bolt through the cow's heads in his slaughterhouse. You can return home satisfied that you have done good, had the excitement of hunting without really hurting anyone, and savour the knowledge that you have rid the world of more bovine harlots with their fluttering eyelashes and udders. It is a good hobby, as cows are everywhere and will never be endangered. For every one that falls, another 2 springs up to take its place, like those skeletons adjacent to the Argonauts. Enjoy your hobby and kill the cows. Kill them!
Hi, breakfast show.
Right, we've got 167 ginger loans, 52 of the letters, 46 after Chris's autograph, 12 for Holly's knickers, 8 on your phone number, Justin. We've even got 1 for John's picture. And that's from Strange Ways. The amount of b**ks letters we get in one day.
7 to 99 FM, Radio 1, as it is.
Hello, yeah, it's Justin at the breakfast show, Chris Evans. Yeah, I'm after those VIP passes. We don't queue, we don't pay, we just large it.
Dr. Ronnie's Celebrity Illness Roundup.
Sean Ryder of Black Grape has cancelled his tour due to an outbreak of the rare condition known as big hands. Ryder's hands are swollen up to twice the size of his face due to his having drunk too much milk. Previous sufferers from big hands include DJ Kenny Everett. The illness is treatable by sleeve lengthening.
Dear Anthony, thank you for your letter about being a servant. Yes, I agree. Being a servant is nice. I am glad we're such good friends.
Dear Emma, yes, you're right. Being a butler is great.
For 30 years, Remains of the Day star Anthony Hopkins corresponded with Emma Thompson in a series of notes left on the kitchen table of the stately home they both worked in as servants, which detailed the pleasure they received from serving the upper classes. Until one day, Anthony decided to chance his arm.
Dear Emma, thanks for the letter about the etiquette of waiting upon a visiting lord and lady. I'm very interested in etiquette and manners, as you will know, after 30 years. Oh, God, come on, Emma. We all know what this interest in serving is all about. I want to throw you over the kitchen table, rip off that maid's outfit that you so slattishly wear, and cover you with yogurt and lick it off. I hate being a servant and posh people, and I know you do too. 30 years I've waited for you, you harlot. Yours sincerely, Anthony Hopkins. P.S. I am walking as I write this.
Oh, Lord. Oh, dearie me, no. Oh, dear.
Jazz and Dave without the songs, beards, or cockneyness.
You're listening to Lee and Herring on Radio 1.
And this is Miracle Legion with a version of the Byrds' Mr. Spaceman. Stay with us for some space-related news after this. is 25 minutes past nine. On the line, we've got Peter Buck from Wales in Somerset with a coin replacement suggestion. Hello,
Peter. You are.
Hello.
What is your coin replacement suggestion?
I suggest that all coins should be replaced with coins the same size as a 5p.
That's a good idea. They'd hate that. Well done, mate.
How old are you, Peter?
I'm 30-odd.
Good. Well,
30-odd, the odd.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers, mate.
There's another one.
We haven't got time.
Steve, you know this Jupiter probe, talking of space?
No.
I don't understand what that's all about. What is going on?
Well, Rich, luckily for you, I recorded an episode of Sky TV's children history programme, Histoire's Eye, which explains that very issue.
Oh, good. Hello, me hearties. It's me, Histoire, Sky TV's one-eyed pirate history crow. It's night time, so keep quiet. And I'm going to get my telescope out so I can navigate by the stars.
Here you are, Histoire. Look through here.
Oh, thank you, Pliny. What? These aren't stars. All I seem to be able to see are the internal digestive organs of a man as viewed through his colon. This isn't a telescope.
Oh, sorry, Histoire. I thought you said endoscope, the fibre-optic tube camera used by doctors to perform endoscopies, namely investigations into growths in the bowel.
No, no, you numbskull crow! I said telescope, not endoscope!
Ow, ow, my feather!
Oh, whatever, Nest!
Nest!
Here's my telescope. Look, in the sky, there's Jupiter. Yeah. You may have seen on the grown-up news that the Americans have sent a probe there to explore... explore the planet and see if it is where UFOs come from.
What is a UFO, Histoire? Although I have a full knowledge of obscure medical procedures, I have never heard of a UFO before.
It means unidentified flying object, Pliny, you fool.
Like a badly cooked egg.
I said flying, not frying.
Frying, sorry. I keep making that mistake for some reason.
Yes, it's about the 10th time.
Flying.
Shut up. Some people think that there are spacecraft of aliens, UFOs.
Aliens? I hate hens.
No, aliens from outer space.
Oh.
Let's see if they are real. Come with me as I unveil my magical historical eye once again.
Ooh.
Come with me, Pliny. As the crow flies.
What place is this, Histoire?
This is Roswell in New Mexico.
New Exico? Good, they should be nice and fresh.
Not Exico, Mexico! Shut up! This is the location of one of the most famous UFO sightings ever, as popularised by shows like The X-Files.
The X-Files? X-Files. Is that where they put their new eggs, Ico, to keep them fresh? What an excellent idea, Histoire.
I said X-Files, all right?
Oh, okay, all right, sorry.
Look, in the sky! UFO, a UFO!
What is that?
I've told you! An unidentified flying object, bird brain! Wing, will you ever learn? Let's fly aboard.
Hello, Histoire. I am the Roswell alien, and I have come to planet Earth from my planet, X-4, to bring you scientific advances, medical knowledge, and a new system of government so that peace can reign forever on your planet.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Roswell alien. See, Pliny, aliens are real. Pliny? Where are you, Pliny?
I wonder what this button here does.
No, Pliny, don't touch that button. That button makes the UFO crash. For some reason. No!
Look what you've done now, Pliny. The UFO and the medical advances, etc. are destroyed. And worse than that, the Roswell alien is dead.
We better scarp it.
Well, I hope you're pleased with yourself, Pliny Harris.
Yes.
Your foolish actions have prevented the advancement of human knowledge and quite probably created the spark that will ignite a full-scale intergalactic war.
Oh, sorry, Histoire, I didn't think. You know, it seems strange, though. Previously, we have only been observers of historical events.
Yes.
But this time, we've actually influenced the course of recorded history. With this power comes great responsibility, and also adds a new and complex philosophical dimension to our essentially light-hearted pseudo-educational children's programme.
No, it doesn't! Shut up, you're spoiling it! Give me that telescope again, Pliny. Ah, look, I can see Uranus.
Sorry, Histoire, I must have given you the endoscope again from before, remember? It is now stuck up my rectum, you see.
Not your anus! Uranus, the planet. Feather brain.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hester. I thought that you meant my anus.
No, I didn't mean your anus. I mean, I would never say anus on Sky TV.
You just did.
I didn't. Stop it. Shut up.
That very grown-up talk about anuses leads us into Newspeak.
97 to 99 FM. Radio 1.